The list is endless of what he can do. And, you know, in a group like this, it could be just about endless of what we could come up with that God has done for us or those that we know. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Did I say good morning? I think I did. Oh, my. The Lord is so good. And today is All Nations Sunday. I don't think we have a problem here about not being inclusive. Anyone is welcome here. And we have a wonderful representation of nations. And I had intended, and then forgot that I had intended. I had intended to go through the list of the missionaries that we support and plot them on a map. But I'm pretty sure we have most of the continents in the world represented. And God is so good because he wants everyone. Can I say that again? Everyone to be a part of the house of God in the body of Christ, the church. He doesn't want to exclude anyone. And we as human beings have innate biases that are influenced by many, many things. They could be influenced by where we grew up. If you grew up here, you have a broad spectrum of seriously, Anchorage maybe even more than the peninsula. But when my kids were going to school, they went to schools that where to be Caucasian in that school and speak English was the minority. The schools that they attended, if you lumped all of the others besides English-speaking Caucasian, they were largely outnumbered by a huge diversity of languages. They went, the elementary they went to, it was classified as the most language diverse school, I think, in the nation. And the high school that they were slotted to go to, and a couple of them did go there, was the most diverse high school in the nation. And so diversity can be a lifestyle for some, but for others it might not be. And our exposures may limit us in the ability to be open to touching other lives around us. I grew up in a small town. Well, small is relative, but it was the county seat. maybe 13,000-14,000 people when I was growing up. I'm just pulling this off the top of my head. It's probably not entirely correct, but there was very little representation besides Caucasian English-speaking people. And it was very, very unusual until I got older and, was not so much high school, but in the college, we had a junior college in town, that there were any black people. As a matter of fact, there were, I think, 5 families in the whole area. And they didn't want others moving in. And their thought behind that was that they had established themselves as being accepted. And they weren't held like this. That they had become a part of the community. And others coming in upset that balance and caused a problem. And so what I'm trying to say is that if we are not careful, that our exposures and our culture that we come up in can cause us to hold people like this. And it's not just the color of our skin. It's not just our heritage. It's not just this or that or anything you could think of. We can hold people off because of many, many things. Maybe we grew up around something that scarred us so badly, an addiction of some sort or another, that we want nothing to do. We cannot have anything to do with that because of our past that we're scarred with. So in this Sunday, I want to look at these things because our lesson focus in Acts chapter 10, Peter gets an entire upset. He has no idea what's going on in this lesson text. But before we go any further, let's pray and ask God to open our hearts and our minds that we can hear and receive what he has for us today.
Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house today. Lord, to look at your word and to see what it talks about for bringing salvation to every nation. And not just nation, but every people, no matter who they are or where they've come from, that our hearts would be open, Lord Jesus, to be able to build this church that you want to establish, and get us all ready to be in your kingdom.
In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our lesson title is In Every Nation. Wow. In every nation. Our lesson text comes out of Acts chapter 10 and also Acts chapter 15. So, Peter. Chapter 10 starts out with an introduction to a man that wasn't or shouldn't have had he shouldn't have had opportunity according to the Pharisees. According to the religious system. And then in the church, the door hadn't opened there yet either. So this centurion was a devout man, Cornelius. He was a devout man, and he had gotten someone's attention. He had gotten God's attention. And God can get the attention of anyone he chooses. And he wants to draw the attention of anyone and everyone interested in being a part of the kingdom of God. To reconnect with their creator. That's what God wants. He wants people to reconnect with him, even if they have no idea. And so an angel comes to Cornelius. Wow. I've never had that experience. It might be difficult. Most of the experience of angels showing up to people in scripture means that they're falling on their face and they're petrified and they have to be lifted up and said, it's okay. I'm sure I would be in that category. That I would be frightened because It's out of the ordinary. It's not something that I am used to expecting. But Cornelius was spoken to and said, call this man. I want you to send for this man. And isn't it awesome that Scripture says, this is his name, this is the house he's in, and this is the address. Send your people to that place and ask for that man. And don't be confused because they were both Simon. You want Simon Peter. That's who you want. Now, God is specific. And when he, if we listen, when he gives direction, and I'm talking to me right now. If you want to join me, you can. But I'm talking to me. If we listen close enough, we will have very specific instruction. I need to listen better. I need to work better at that. But that was a sideline. And at the same time, Peter, well, maybe not. Maybe there was a day difference because they had to travel. But while they were traveling, just before they got there, God sent a vision to a man and turned his life upside down. Turned his all of his teaching, all of his background, growing up, culture of hundreds of years. And that sheet comes down out of heaven. All kinds of things in it. And Peter is told by the Lord in this vision, get up and eat. No. I have never. And that happens three times before Peter says, okay. And when he says, okay, he's told that he needs to go with the men that are getting ready to knock on the door and go with them to a man, Cornelius, because he's ready to learn how he can serve me. Now, I know that that is a huge summarization of that lesson. But it happened, and at the end of chapter 10, in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Did you read earlier, do you know earlier in the chapter that when Cornelius heard from that angel and sent his messengers to Peter, it wasn't just him that was in that house. It wasn't just him and his family that was in that house. He called everybody he knew to be there when Peter arrived. And so, in verse 44 and verse 45, the words and the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And the end of the chapter says, well, this happened, so why shouldn't they be baptized? But Peter, like we can be, doesn't always completely get it or remember. Because later on, when Peter goes to Paul and he's in Gentile homes, he eats with the Gentiles, and that was a terrible thing for Jews to do. They weren't allowed in the house. Oh my, that was terrible. You don't do that. But Jesus did. My Bible reading this morning, as I was listening to it, I think it was, I'm not going to try it. In the book of Mark, Jesus was in the house of, I believe it was Simon again, Simon the leper, that had been a leper. Someone that Jesus drew in. And do you know what he did? He kept going back to that house. He kept interacting with that one that he had worked with. Did he do that with all of the people that were healed? No. But this one he did. And he was anointed there in his home because of the interaction that Jesus was having with this person. That's discipleship. That's what Pastor wants us to do. Pastor wants us to create relationship with those that are in our lives, not just us in interaction, although that's important too. We do need to lift one another up and encourage one another and be there for one another. But we also need to interact with the world around us, not be affected, but interact with enough that we can be in their homes and we can open the Word of God with them and share our lives with them. And pretty soon, they may be here too. So, Peter, in chapter 15, there's a big fuss. Paul comes because Paul had been converted, and he was out working with those around and the Gentiles, and he was working with people that Jews didn't normally interact with. But Paul knew that's who he was called to minister with. And Peter goes, then Paul comes back to Jerusalem with a group of people. And some of them were Gentiles. And the church and the Pharisees, but the church even, said, ooh, don't they need to be circumcised? Don't they need to be apart? Don't they need to be like we are? Don't they need to be like the rules in the Old Testament? The laws in the Old Testament, don't they need to, it's good that they have got the Holy Ghost. It's wonderful that they've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But don't they still need to? And Paul said, no. And Peter finally stood up in Acts 15 and said, well, you know, remember? But there had been another time that when he was with Gentiles, he was fine. But when he came back, or the elders or other Jews came around, then Peter would separate himself. That's not what God wants. God wants us to embrace those that want to come in to his kingdom. God wants us to embrace all people. Doesn't Acts 2 verse 39 tell us that, oh my goodness, to everyone, right? For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as the men, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that they were to, and then later on in the chapter, they were to go, they were to be in Jerusalem, and then they were to be in Judea, and then the Samaria, and then they were to be to the uttermost part of everywhere, to everyone, everywhere to everyone. Looking at Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. Even in the Old Testament, they were supposed to be open to everyone. Judaism was open to anyone. Was it highly practiced? I doubt it. No, I don't think it was practiced much at all. But in Isaiah 42 and verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Isaiah's talking to the Jews, saying that you were called into righteousness. For what? A light to the Gentiles. It wasn't supposed to be that the Jews wrapped themselves up in who they were and who their father was and who their God was. And that's it. They were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. The same is true for the church. We are supposed to be a light. We are not supposed to sit here in these four walls and be so thankful that we're here and not want anybody else to be here. Or only the selected ones that... Now you can add all the words after that. That feel like it, that look like it, that... And that's not easy. It's not always easy to get past the humanity that's in us that may naturally want to do this to this one or that one or another one for whatever reason. But that's a natural response. And we need to cut that off and get rid of that with God's help. That's what we need to do in order to bring in and make the church who the church needs to be. Now you think, oh, well, that's just one reference. No, there's a lot of them. And I'm just going to look at two. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14, looks at this again, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, the God that we know. The God that we were introduced to one day. Maybe we were born into a family that introduced us. Maybe it took some trauma in our lives for us to be introduced, but we now serve a God that gives us dominion and glory, and we're a part of a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The end of the book still says that we win. The Jews The promises that were to be in place and were to happen naturally, because all of their promises haven't been fulfilled yet. But they did come back to their kingdom. Their land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they did come back to their land. They were drawn back, even back from Babylon and Syria. They did come back to their land then. But they were destroyed many times over after that. And now we know that they have a nation. And their people are there. And now what needs to happen is they need to have their eyes open to who their God is. Because that's not in place right now. They're a very militaristic nation. And they really don't, I mean, there are some Hasidic Jews that believe Old Testament Judaism, but most of them are not. So, what does this mean to us? Well, let's look in the New Testament. And I found some New Testament scriptures that deal with this diversity that we need to be inclusive of. And again, this church is wonderfully represented of diversity. So many people are represented here, and many others have been welcome and may not be here right now as far as diversity is concerned. But Revelation 5 and 9, very similar in some verbiage to what we heard in Daniel chapter 7, but in Revelation 5 and 9, and there was a crowd that was singing in verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy." Who are they singing to? Jesus. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of," and this is the focus I want, out of the representation of those that are gathered there, that are watching and saying that the Lamb is worthy to open these seals that are going to start the mess that happens in Revelation. The representation before the throne is of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to be committed to being open to whoever needs God, whoever needs to see this truth. Wherever they're encountered. Are they stumbling down the street? Totally inebriated and unable to understand. They don't know where they're at. They don't know what's going on. If God opens a door in that, we need to be willing to step in. Maybe have you ever seen, in Anchorage, there's a lot of beggars. But they're of a very different, they're not beggars like what you read about in Scripture. They're more affected in begging because of the circumstances in their lives and the culture that we're in right now. I can't, not very often when I was in the Middle East did I see this, but occasionally I would go down, and I was never alone. I would go down with a friend, and we would go down to the inner city of Amman, and down in the market. It was a huge, huge market. And we would walk the streets, and we were looking for, we wanted to buy some material. And so there's different areas of the market, and you walked past, you know, I remember walking past, and I am not trying to belabor a story here, but it was amazing to me what you would see in this market, and you walk by the gold market, and there was more gold than I had ever seen in jewelry that was just hanging behind one plate of glass on hooks and on bars that they could be strung on. And there, the whole window was full, and there was shop after shop after shop of that. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And then you'd walk by the section where, you know, you would go to purchase meat, and there was all kinds of parts of animals hanging from hooks in the window that, oh, you can, oh, I want that one, you know, kind of thing, in the meat market. And this, but when you walked and you searched and you were there in that market, occasionally you would see someone that was sitting on the sidewalk, that there was a little bowl or something right there, and they were so crippled, and their limbs were distorted, and there was, I mean, beggars that truly, and society had made them into beggars. I am so thankful for the different look and perspective we have on folks that have disability now, because people with disability have great ability. It's don't focus on what they can't do. Let's focus on what they can do. And Jesus reached out to people like I would see on occasion. The lame man that was at the gate that Peter and John healed. How long had he been there? Ah, since he was a boy. Wasn't allowed in the house of God. That's another thing I'm thankful for in the church. If we have ailment or we have faults or disabilities, we are welcome in the house of God. And I'm so thankful for that. God wants us to be inclusive. Wherever and however you want to look at it, God wants us to be inclusive. Peter was forced by God to be inclusive. Jesus showed by example that he was inclusive. He fussed about it. Remember the Gentile woman that came and said, my daughter is sick, would you heal her? Oh, well, you know, no, I'm not, it's not time. And what did she say? Oh, the dogs get to eat the crumbs. And Jesus said, wow. That's not what the words are in Scripture. But, wow. Yes, she's healed. Your faith. Something I realized thinking about this lesson. Most of the people that Jesus interacted with, besides his disciples, but most of the people that Jesus interacted with came to him. They heard about him. They heard what he was doing. And people flocked to him. But I was thinking, and right now, I can only think of one person besides his disciples that Jesus said, I've got to go. Maybe two. I've got to go see a woman at a well. But he had direction to do that. He knew there was a hungry heart there. I've got to go to the demoniac. Neither one of those were Jews. And he sought them both. And aren't they the ones that he said, oh yeah, go tell everybody about it. Both of them. He said, just go tell everybody what happened to you. But most of the others in Scripture that he, oh, don't tell anybody. What did they do? They went and told everybody. Oh, I want to end this lesson with a song that my mom wrote. And I'm not trying to be self-serving about it or promoting. But this song expresses this lesson. And what we need to do in our attitude needs to be about reaching and being diversified in it. And go ahead. With So who is our neighbor? Who is it that God wants us to deal with? Is it a broken child? Is it someone from somewhere that we have no idea? They don't even speak our language, or just barely speak our language. Is it someone who is destitute and stumbling in their struggles? We need to put away our excuses. And those barriers that we create because we don't know or we don't understand. But God, through us, can do what we need to do in these times. Pastor, we can double. Brother Mike, we can double in prayer, in relationship with him. We can double in our interactions with those around us. If we continue to open our hearts and our minds and let Christ work through us wherever he leads us. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you so much. We're getting ready to have a break and then we're going to go into worship. And I know all of you know that, but we'll start worship in about 15 minutes. God bless you.